Matthew again, Matthew chapter 9. Again, read verses 27 through verse 34. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 34. When Jesus departed thence again from the house of Jairus, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, that is, these two blind men, they brought to him that would be into the house a dumb man possessed with a devil. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. We've, for the last few weeks, looked at Jesus healing these two blind men. This took place in a house. We see in verse 32 that they leave. They left differently than they came. They came not seen. They leave seeing. And that should always be the case. We should always leave differently, in a good way, than how we came. And that will always be true if we truly come to Christ. We see then another miracle that took place here in verses 32 and through verse 34. We have the healing of the dumb man, or the man who could not speak. We see that this man is brought to Christ. Verse 32, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Again, we see that word, behold, as they went out, and then behold, something remarkable was going to follow. They brought to him. This man, of course, was brought to Christ out of love and concern for the man, that is, those who brought him, no doubt loved him, no doubt had some concern for him. They also did so with the realization that what this man needed was beyond their ability. It's beyond the ability of man. They no doubt brought him with a desire to see him healed, to see him made whole. And they no doubt brought him believing to some degree that Christ was able to heal this man, that Christ was able to make a difference in this man's life. So they brought to him, that is, they brought to Christ, that is, the one who is above all and over all and beyond all, they brought this man to Christ. Notice the condition of the man. He is a dumb man possessed with a devil. He is described as a man possessed with a devil. That is, he is demon-possessed. He is under the dominion. He is under the control of a demon. We see that he was possessed with a devil. That is, he was under the spell of this demon. He was under the force and power of this demon. This demon had force in this man's life. This demon had power in this man's life. So we read that he was possessed with a devil. This is his condition. That describes the man's condition. The fact that he was possessed with a devil. His condition shaped his life. And so it is with us. Our condition shapes our life. This man's condition was that he was possessed with a devil. That shaped his life. That determined how this man would live his life. So we need to clearly understand that being possessed with a devil, that was his condition. We see there was also a symptom. A symptom, of course, is an indicator or a manifestation. In this case, the indicator or manifestation of the man's condition. We must distinguish between a condition and a symptom. We must always make that distinction. So this man's condition is he was possessed with a devil. The symptom was he was a dumb man. That is, because of the demon possession, this man could not speak. It's not that he could not speak and as a result he was demon possessed. That's not the order. The order is he was demon possessed. And as a result of that, he could not speak. And again, we need to make that distinction between one's condition and symptoms. Again, a symptom is an indicator of a condition. People say all the time, well, you can't know someone's condition. That is totally false. Because symptoms are indicators of a condition. And if you watch for symptoms, you can pretty much gauge someone's condition. Someone says, well, I don't see where it really matters. Oh, it does matter. Because you have to treat the condition in order to do away with the symptom. So the man's condition was he was possessed with a devil. The symptom was he could not speak. And the greatest and most urgent need of this man was not in the symptom. The greatest and urgent need of this man was in the condition. His greatest and most urgent need was not the fact that he could not speak. His greatest need was in his condition, and that is he was demon-possessed. So the source of the problem is always a greater and more urgent need than the symptom. And that is even more so when we get to the spiritual realm. So we see the man's condition. He was demon possessed. We see the manifestation of his condition was that he could not speak. Next we see that Jesus worked a miracle. Concerning this miracle, all that is said in verse 33 is, and when the devil was cast out. That's all we read concerning this miracle. When the devil was cast or was thrown out. Now, Christ, of course, is the one who cast the demon out. And casting the demon out, that was a manifestation of Christ's power over the powers of hell. The particulars of Christ releasing this man from his demon possession is not given. It just simply stated the demon or the devil was cast out. And no doubt this is the result of the working of Jesus Christ. The devil was cast out. Christ is the only hope, the only hope for those who are under the spell of Satan. He's their only hope. And this was the only hope of this man. Now, the immediate result of Christ casting the demon out, verse 33, the devil was cast out, the dumb, the speechless individual, he spoke. Could Christ have released this man's tongue? Could Christ have given this man the ability to speak without casting out the demon? Certainly. Certainly he could have done that. That would have been a very temporary fix. Yes, Christ could have dealt with the symptom and ignored the condition, and it would have been temporary. Or Christ could do as he did, deal with the condition. And dealing with the condition, the symptom goes away. The dumb man spake. So Christ did not merely deal with the symptom, but he dealt with the source of the problem. And the source of the problem was the man was demon possessed. So in healing this man, Christ deals with the root cause. He deals with the real issue at hand. And as a result, the symptom was cured. And people would much rather today, I'm talking in the spiritual realm, would much rather deal with the symptom than the condition. But dealing with the symptoms a day, an hour, 2 days later, they're right back to the same place. Because the condition has not changed. Our condition has to change. And is that not what happened in salvation? I mean, there were many symptoms that we were lost. But when the Lord saves our soul, he didn't just deal with the symptoms. He dealt with the root cause. He dealt with the condition, and he changed our condition. And in changing our condition, he cures the symptoms. That's why today many who profess to be saved, the symptoms are still there, that they're lost. Because I'm afraid the condition has not been dealt with. They've done something to put a Band-Aid on a symptom. But that doesn't fix anything. It just very, very temporary. But it is much easier, again, in the spiritual realm, it is much easier and it is far less painful to deal with a symptom than it is the condition. So Christ, the devil was cast out. We're not given the details, but we know that Christ is the one that cast the devil out. As a result, the symptoms are changed. The dumb, this speechless individual now speaks. And then we have the response to the miracle. And the multitudes marveled. They marveled. They marveled at the fact that this man who could not speak now could speak. And I believe he could speak very clearly. No one had any problem understanding what this man said. They marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." They were amazed. They were astonished. And they stood in awe of the power of Christ. As you read through the Gospels, you see that this was a common response to the teaching and the works of Jesus Christ. Specifically in the book of Matthew, you read through the book of Matthew and you'll find on several occasions where the multitudes marveled. Jesus Christ would stand up and teach in the synagogue and the multitudes marveled. Christ would heal an individual that was certainly beyond the ability of man, and we read, and the multitudes marveled. They marveled, but it would have been far, far more beneficial for them to believe. Many times they marveled, but they did not believe. They marveled, but it did not make a difference in their lives. And many, in response to the teaching and miraculous power of Christ, they marveled, but they did so without ever truly savingly believing. And then the multitude confessed the reason for their astonishment, saying it was never so seen in Israel. The reason they marveled is they had never seen anything like it. It's not what they were accustomed to seeing. Perhaps they had seen the speechless made to talk, but not in this way. Christ did things in a far, far different way. So it's not what they were used to. And because it wasn't what they were used to, they marveled. Because it went beyond what they were used to, they marveled. But then we also have the response of the avowed enemies of Christ, who of course were the Pharisees. And as you read through the Gospels, you see that almost every miracle that Christ performed, the Pharisees are nearby, which shows that they were following Christ not to learn. They were following Christ to, again, accuse him, falsely accuse him. They followed all for the wrong reasons, but they're always nearby. And usually when we read of their response, we read those words, "but the Pharisees." But the Pharisees. We see the same thing here. Verse 34, "But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince, through the ruler of the devils." What they're saying is that Christ is an ambassador of Satan. That Christ cast out these devils through the power of Satan. That's quite a charge. And that, of course, is a blasphemous charge. What they were accusing Christ of was, they're saying, the reason he could do that is because he is in accord with Satan. He's in accord with the one who has power over the demons. And this isn't the first time. Well, it was here, but this wouldn't be the last time that they would make such a charge. Notice in Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 14 through verse 23. Can you imagine the patience of Jesus Christ for these the religious crowd of his day to accuse him of being in accord with Satan? I mean, here was one who held their breath in his hands. And such a blasphemous charge. And Christ was so, so patient, so long-suffering with them. Notice in verse 14 of Luke chapter 11, "And as he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb," that is, that's what the devil caused. It caused the individual to be speechless. "And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake." Again, he dealt with the condition. The symptom took care of itself. "And the people wondered." That is, they marveled. "But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, testing him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against him, against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God, that shows how easy it is for God. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he, that's Christ, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. But Jesus is telling them many things, and it's not our purpose to look at that passage of Scripture, but what Jesus is telling them basically is for Satan to cast out Satan is utter foolishness. That's utter foolishness. That would be a house divided against itself. And so the charge that the Pharisees made was a very foolish charge. So we have two miracles here in Matthew 9 that we've been looking at. And in both of them, we have a manifestation of the power and authority of Christ over the realm of darkness. Over the realm of physical darkness, two blind men. Over the realm of spiritual darkness, a man who was possessed with a devil. We have the blasphemous charge of the Pharisees against Christ. Christ then would continue his ministry in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Here we see the spirit and the nature of Christ's ministry. We see that he taught, he preached, he healed, and he did so in big places, cities, and he did so in small and insignificant places, such as villages. So place did not matter. Place did not matter. And oh, how thankful we ought to be that Christ is not limited by place. The range and scale of his healing power is seen in the words that he healing every sickness, that is sicknesses of great variety, and every disease. And then you go on and read and you see that he had compassion in the multitude. His ministry was carried out in compassion and with a desire to see them made whole. So once again, it has in all the miracles of Christ, there are many lessons that we can gather. There are many lessons that we can apply to ourselves. There are many lessons that we can apply to the unsaved sinner. But there's much to learn from the miracles of Christ. Let's look to the Lord.